Talk to him. We're just two unapologetically black women with an opinion who talk back.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl AJ.
Country or
y'all know who this is. It's Tam Bam. I'm back and stupid once again.
Welcome back for another episode of We Talk Back. We got some fun shit today. So we have a very fun, interesting guest for this episode. Mm-hmm. We have the world-renowned clairvoyant. He goes by psychic. I know some people don't like to go by that term, but we got Tana Hoy this week on We Talk Back, and we're going to see if we can figure out what the fuck our future looking like.
Right, because I need to know, like, what's going on, because shit has been unreal in 20 and 21, okay?
So, tune in. Hi, Tana Hoy.
Thank you for joining us.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. How are you today?
Good. Good to see you, ladies.
Good to see you as well.
We're glad that we were able to set this up and have you on We Talk Back. I'm AJ.
And I'm Tam Bam.
And we need you.
I definitely need you. Absolutely.
Well, that's great.
So can you tell us a little bit about you? Like, when did you discover your ability?
Yeah, I was born with the ability. I'm what's called a psychic, and I'm also a medium. And people think of the word medium to mean like somebody that only talks to the dead. And that's actually a misconception. A psychic, of course, is somebody that has psychic ability. So I have the ability to see the future. I'm what's called clairaudient, which means I see, or clairaudient, which means I can hear the voices of the spirit world. I'm clairvoyant, which means I can see visions of the future and the past. And I'm clairsentient, which means that I can feel feelings and impressions of energy and from people. So that's the psychic part. The medium part means when we think of mediums, on TV, people are so used to thinking about only dealing with people who have died. And actually, that's really kind of far from the whole picture. A medium means somebody that's actually a medium between the earth, and the spirit world. So the medium's right here. So it means to be the medium in between. That's where the word medium comes from. Right. So a medium is just a voice for the spiritual world. So I work with over 350 spirit guides, guardian angels, and ascended masters. That's where I get my information from. Now I can talk to loved ones who have died because they're part of the spirit world. But a medium doesn't just have the ability to just speak to people who have died. A true medium would have the ability to speak also to angels and other beings, ascended masters and spirit guides. When I do a reading with somebody, 350 of my spirit guides, angels, and ascended masters, they kind of materialize in front of me. And if I do a reading for you today, if you can see spirit guides and angels, you'll see them standing all around me. If not, you won't see anything. But if a person has the gift to see that, they can see them around me. So that's where I get my information from. And to answer your question, I was born with my psychic ability. I never really developed it. I don't remember a time that I didn't have psychic ability. With my gift, I can physically see guardian angels, spirit guides, and ascended masters as clearly as I can see you sitting there. So I've had it all my life. When I was about 10 years old, with the permission of my parents, I was taken under the wings of one of the most knowledgeable master teachers in the world. He was a master teacher of an ancient Egyptian mystery school. And he actually mentored me in the ancient Egyptian teachings of these mystery schools for 14 years until the day of his death.
When you see these spirits, or are they behaving like they're alive? Or are they just there?
Well,
are they?
It's a very spiritual feeling. It's not scary. I'm not talking about seeing demons and things with horns out of their head. That's not the kind of stuff that I see, but things that are of a very positive and white light. Yeah, I don't deal in all that other stuff.
Do you feel like that other stuff exists simultaneously?
No, I really don't. I think that other stuff has been, we've been led to believe that it exists. I know there's a lot of faiths and religious faiths out there that claim these exist. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I'm only 21. So I've been doing this for 21 years. That was a joke, actually. Oh, you are laughing. Good. I don't have my glasses on. I'm 21. I have to have glasses. Yeah, I'm only 21, so I've been doing it for 21 years. And in all my 21 years, I've never seen an evil force ever. And I've done over 100,000 readings.
What do you think? Because that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Because I know some religions, especially in the Black community, they don't believe in, they believe in spirits, like you said, but they don't really believe in spirit. And what do you think about those people that think that this is like the devil's work type thing? Because I am the type of person, I tell people I'm a witch all the time. Right. I definitely do crystals, I sage, I do all of the spiritual, that's where I'm more aligned with. It feels good, better than traditional religion.
See, my mother, so she's an old Black woman, okay? She was like,
okay,
who? Right now, don't bring that shit back to my house. So she's afraid. And yeah, I was like, it's nothing to fear. Okay, there's nothing to fear. So, what would you say to people who have that type of thinking, where they're afraid or have fear of the unknown? Actually, you know.
Well, when people come to me, I always tell them I can't resolve your religious beliefs or convictions or fears or phobias or hangups. The thing that I know, I wrote a 8-page paper about psychics in the Bible. And actually, the Bible is very positive about psychics. It says there's nothing wrong with it. I can go on and explain this. Most people don't research. They just listen to what their ministers or spiritual leaders tell them, and they accept it as truth, called the blind sheep syndrome. And spiritual leaders know this, and so do politicians. That's why they often spew out a lot of untruths. They know people will just follow it and believe it without researching. If you believe the person that's telling it, or the person telling it's an authority, then people will naturally believe it. Absolutely. That's a psychological fact, right? So, but the Bible does not speak anything about psychics, nothing at all. So they, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of psychic events in the Bible. I've discovered that spiritual leaders will pick one line or phrase out of the Bible, and then they will claim that that's the truth, but they ignore all the lines before and all the lines after. And so I was on a reality show on CMT. I don't really talk about it. You guys are lucky, because I was such a horrible experience. I'll never do another reality show in my life. Don't recommend it to anybody watching. It's very cutthroat and competitive. So I was on this reality show, and it was in a small town in Texas called Vega, Texas. And they had 5 churches. I think they were all Baptist churches, 900 people, tiny town. They had prophets in their church that were prophesizing of the Lord. That was okay, but I was of the devil. So I've discovered that if you're in the church and you're giving these psychic messages, then you're okay. If you're not in the church, or you're not a Christian, in the Christian religion at least, then you're of the devil. And right. That's the only difference. I guess if I went to the church and said I was a Christian and used these abilities, I guess I'd be okay. But as a friend of mine who's a well-known minister said to me one time, God speaks through many mediums and many people. So the voice and the information I get is all from a very positive spiritual force. Yeah, so I tell people, research it yourself. Huh?
I said, we create our own heaven. I mean, not heaven and hell. We create the evil. We create the good and we create the evil.
Yeah. And I also believe energetically, I wasn't going to get this deep, but when you talk about demons and things, so you talk about energy and stuff, whatever we put energy into actually can appear. I really believe that these demons that people see, if enough people believe in a demon, there's enough energy out there to create this entity, this force through people's thoughts that people will see. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. And people that don't believe in it, they don't see it. But I think these forces can be created by fear and just by believing. I think if I believed in, you know, little green purple people that were an inch high and walked around like ants, I would eventually start to see them if I put enough energy into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think I could create them with my energy.
So, all right, when you were a child, did you go to your mother?
I still am a child. You mean? Remember, I'm 21.
Earlier in your childhood.
A few years ago when you were younger.
Before you were born.
Right.
Thank you.
Did you Did you just go to your mom like, hey, mom, I see people. Did your mother see people all too? And she's like, oh, yeah, baby, that's, you know, that's what we do. Or how did that happen? Like, how what was the conversation?
Well, my mother used to go to seances when she was young. She used to take me. And we went to this spiritual camp. It's a psychic camp. And there aren't many of them around today. And this is actually where I met my mentor. My mom was inside the house of a psychic. It was summer. And I was sitting outside waiting for her, and there's where my mentor first met me, was here. So my parents were, both of my parents were always very accepting. My parents weren't hippies. Like if you think of like a conservative businessman, you have my father. If you think of a liberal kind of Midwestern woman, you have my mother. But neither of them had any problems. I mean, they never treated me different. They never, my mother used to call me her special child. And they, so my mom and my family were familiar. My dad's aunt was very psychic. So they were familiar with this. So it wasn't an issue at home. I found what the hardest part was, I think growing up in school, I learned very quickly to keep my gifts kind of a secret because other kids would get scared of me or they didn't know how to handle it. So I learned very quickly to kind of keep that part of myself very separate at school. Yeah.
So, my older sister, she always talks about, she says that she died on the Titanic, my oldest sister. She feels like, she's like, ever since I was a child, I've always felt this connection to this boat. I had scary dreams of my lungs filling up with ice cold water. Like as a little girl, even though I never was in water, every time I see any documentary about the Titanic, I'm automatically drawn to it. And I would say to her, girl, shut the hell up. You don't know what you're talking about, right? That's how I would, you know, growing up. But as I get older, now I start to maybe consider that it is true. So I'm asking you, do you believe in having past lives?
Absolutely. I actually had a past life memory. And I had a past life memory. And I've only had one. It's called spontaneous memory. So what your sister's having, she's having actual memories. And I believe it's true what she's saying, because without even knowing her, when you say she said she was on the Titanic, it sounds like she's very specific about she knows exactly where she was on the Titanic, and that's how she died. And that's very common with past lives. Absolutely. I don't believe in past lives. I know for a fact that past lives exist, are real. But I interviewed, I had a radio show for a while, and I interviewed this author about past lives. And what she said to me was, past lives, for people that believe in reincarnation or believe in past lives, it's a great theory. You know, she had, she said, but when a person has a past life memory, then they know it's real. They know for sure. And it was way before that. I mean, she told me that was a couple of years later that I had that experience and I understood it, but definitely, absolutely, I believe in it.
She would say that when we were little girls, and I would just think like, mama needs to take my sister to the therapist. That's what I would think. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, I really consider it. I think I may even have memories of a past life. I don't know. Maybe
I know I've been here before.
I have a connection with, are you know those perfume bottles that have the ball on it?
Yeah.
You're extra cute, girl.
And then the silver comb. And now all that old stuff, I just have such an affinity for it. I feel like I've owned them before.
Yeah. That would be like a past life. Mm-hmm. And what you can do is you can do a search on Google about when those were popular and then kind of compare to your age now. And you'll kind of get an idea of like, say they were there in the 50s or whatever. That'll give you, if you do that research and you look, you might find more memories coming. You might find more coming from you. Because when we die, there's no set rule of when you reincarnate. Yeah. You could reincarnate right away. You could be reborn. You could be reborn 20 years, 30 years later. That's something that we don't really know why and how that happens. But so as long as it's something you have an affinity to before, you wouldn't have been when you were living, absolutely that can make sense. I had a past life. I had a past life memory, and I was a little girl in Vietnam, and I lived in this dirt floor, And I remembered looking up at these Americans. I saw these white GI guys, white guys, that I was this little girl and really dirty in this dress. I had this vision. And they were, and but I thought that they were, you know, I looked at them as these rich, wealthy, you know, Americans. I don't know why I was thinking that. And then I thought, well, when were, but I thought, I don't know, were there ever, so I know my age, 21, right? So when I was born, I thought, well, when I was born, were there troops in Vietnam? You know, could this really, so I actually found out that there had been troops in Vietnam since the middle 50s. So it was perfect, and I didn't even know that. And then actually I had this vision. I ended up actually going to Vietnam on this vision to find this life. And I did. It's kind of weird.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But I had a very strong vision, and I cried and I cried. And my boyfriend at the time, we've been there about 4 years. He didn't really believe in reincarnation. He didn't know if this stuff was real reincarnation or not. When he came home from work and I was on the bed sobbing like my mother had died, he came in, he was freaked out. What's wrong? It was so painful, this memory. Because I remember thinking, what have I done? And for a short time, I didn't think that I belonged here. And I realized as a little girl, because I was so poor, I saw these Americans and I thought they were rich. And I decided to come and be born as a Caucasian male in this lifetime in America, because I thought that would make me rich. And that's why I said, oh my God, what did I do?
I'm going to try that one out next, honestly.
Oh, it's not true. But, you know, if you're a little girl in Vietnam and you're poor and you see, you know, the ideas of Americans and what people would tell, will say, you know, that made sense to me. I got this idea that that was what wealth was.
Yeah.
Right.
So look, before we move on to the next segment, let's have a word from our sponsors. What does this mean? When I was younger, that doesn't happen to me anymore. But anytime I would have dreams, I could feel myself coming back. And then my eyes would open and I would wake up.
It astral travel.
But as a child, always, every day, every night, especially Saturdays, I can just remember like.
What do you mean feel Saturday, yourself coming back?
And it's like I was out, you felt outside like you, of my body.
And yeah, I would, yeah.
And I would.
That's called astral travel. And what happens is we have a physical body. And then we have what's called an astral body. It's called astral travel or astral projection. So our astral body is an exact replica of our physical body. And when we sleep, not everybody does this, but it's not, if you have a dream ever that you're flying, you're astrally traveling. Not in a plane, but I mean, you feel like you're flying like a bird. That's astral traveling. So what happens is we detach and leave our body, our astral body. It's connected by what's called a silver cord. That's part of our comes from our energy body. And then we go out there and we float all over the world and we travel around. And then when you wake up, you come back. And if a person has ever been sleeping and all of a sudden they just wake up suddenly, it's just like, bam.
That's how it would always be.
Yeah, you're literally crash landing. You're just slamming, crash landing back in your body. It's just if you hear a noise and you're out astrally traveling and something startles you, you'll have a sudden like that kind of wake up.
Sometimes
it's because you're out of your body.
Feeling just like this, slowly.
Yeah. Well, if you're doing it slowly, that means you're returning back. You weren't having a slam landing. That's the best way. You know, before you wake up, you're just returning back to your body. I bet you still do that now. You just may not pay attention to it or remember it as much. Before you go to sleep at night, what I'd like you to do is start saying, I would like to remember my astral travels. Just kind of say that to yourself and it will plant it in your subconscious and you'll find that you'll start remembering it. Because if you are doing it whenever in your life, it doesn't just go away. We might just get used to it or we might not realize it any longer.
So I have a crazy question.
There's no, believe me, darling, I can assure you whatever you ask me is not crazy compared to the things I've heard.
My grandma see me giving head.
Your grandma what?
She's gone now. Can she see me giving head? Like, can she see me?
You know, darling, that's, I get asked stuff like that all the time. You're being very Christian about it, how you're asking. I've had it asked in much more descriptive terms. So no, she doesn't. That's an interesting question that people ask. I had a woman ask me one time, when my husband is performing oral sex on me, does my grandma see it? She asked me that exact same thing. And that's a lot of people ask me that when we're having sex, does my mom see us? And so the truth is, though, that no, they don't, because there's a privacy thing. Like when we're making love or we're being sexual or having sex with someone we love or even someone we just met, they do not come in and impose on us. That'd be kind of creepy. No, yeah. That's just naturally built in.
So one time I was having sex with this guy I was dating at the time. This is like 10 years ago now. But his cousin committed suicide maybe a year prior. And his door, like the door was a heavy door. It couldn't open or close by itself. It's not a swing. And the door kept opening and closing. So we just assumed maybe it was his cousin.
Was trying to have a threesome.
That could have been the case.
I'm charging all the ghosts.
Wouldn't have been very satisfying. It would have been just air, right?
Right.
Well, see, okay.
You're so stupid. Did you hear her?
What did I miss?
She said 40 ghost dollars.
40. Good luck spending them. You have to take them with you when you're a ghost one day, when you're no longer here. Because I don't know any place
where you can get money from the country. You just hold on to it.
Instead of cryptocurrency, maybe that's astral currency or ectocurrency or something. So the interesting thing about what people get freaked out about, and that's a really good point about the door. So when we die, we're still made of energy. We're made of energy.
Yes.
I can see them. I can see dead people. I get scared as hell of, like, I am not scared of ghosts. I used to do ghost hunting and I was in a group for ghost hunting and I saw all kinds of things. As long as it's in front of me, I'm not scared. If I can see you, I'm not scared. But you know, if I'm on a ghost hunt and something taps me on the back, it scares the hell out of me. Because if anybody comes up and tries to tap me on the back, it scares me. As long as I can see them, they don't bother me. The thing about ghosts is when people have, they call them hauntings, and that's kind of it almost sounds like a scary word, but if you really break it down to a simplest form, when we die, we're made of energy. Death is nothing more than the physical body, the spiritual body leaving the physical body, because we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. Because of reincarnation, we're reborn into these bodies. So we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience, which implies that, you know, it's all over at the end because we come into this body. So Albert Einstein said, when energy doesn't go away, doesn't disappear, doesn't go away, it just changes form. Yeah. Scientifically, we know that we're made of, I forget what percentage of energy, 80%. When we die, if energy doesn't change, it doesn't disappear, it just changes form, that energy goes. And that's the soul. That's the part that's reincarnated. So when you're in an energy body, when you're in your spiritual body, you can move things. You can move things. You can drop things over. Pardon me?
I try all the time to move things. Right. And also like the static cling. Like I'm like,
right.
You can build up enough to
right.
Like, shock my fiance right
but see if you saw that door, if you could have seen his brother standing there and you would have seen him opening and closing that door, it wouldn't have been scary. But because most people can't see them, it looks like something, air just, it just looks like the door is moving, but it's right. Not there's right. Okay. A being there moving it, same no. As someone falls off your shelves, no one just
been scared.
It's just if you could see it, someone there knocked it over.
If I saw a brother that I knew had passed away open the door, I would have been scared. And I would have wanted my $40.
Scared, but.
Hold on. Before we get into anything else, let's pay some bills real quick.
So you wanted a reading. I'll tell you a little bit. So you're not in a relationship at the moment.
I am.
Okay, let me go back. Let me ask this differently. Are you happy in this relationship at the moment?
Sometimes.
Pardon me?
Sometimes.
Are you 100% fulfilled? Couldn't be happier in this relationship?
No, if this is going to be the conversation, we got to hurry up before he comes home.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'm just going to ask you because I'm straight up. You hear me? I'm kind of a truth teller. Because what I'm getting, see, when I say a relationship, to me, I think of a relationship as a really like a soulmate kind of connection. And one of the things that I hope this is okay, but you didn't really ask me a question. You said I wanted a reading. I've just gone with what I picked up. And so there's some things that you two need to work out between you two. Mm-hmm. There's still some things. Do you understand that?
Mm, very much so.
And some things sexually that you need to work out too.
Interesting.
You don't have to say anything, but you.
Pardon me? You brought me a damn tease.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like, tell me a little bit more, like some things sexually, like more sex, less sex, or no sex.
Yeah, maybe more. Maybe more, or maybe different, or maybe some things he doesn't do that you'd like him to do, or maybe doesn't do it the right way.
Interesting.
This is, do you understand that?
Yes.
All that it needs to be is conversation. I feel like he cares about you, but you know, I think when it comes to, say, we talk about sex, when it comes to sex, I think we expect people to read our mind sometimes. I think it's okay to say, I like this, I like that, a little harder here, a little softer here, those kind of things. And just have conversations with him about right. this.
So because we never have a problem with communication. It's comprehension a lot of times. So
okay. Well,
I can tell everything I don't like, what I do like is like, if the person isn't comprehending what you're saying or doesn't care to comprehend it, then what?
Well, in other words, you're dealing with the male. And I can say that I'm a male. You're dealing with the typical male mind. I mean, what I tell my female clients is if you want to talk to an adult, you call your girlfriend. If you want to talk to a child, you call your husband or your boyfriend. So it's one of those things where you're really dealing with, our minds are a little different. Well, you have to tell men, you have to tell us, I can say this because I'm male, you have to tell us more than once. And part of it with him, it'll get very frustrating, but I can tell you that he does love you. And I would tell you that his not always remembering isn't a sign of his not caring. He does care about you. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you two didn't get married.
Well, we're engaged, but it's real thin ice.
That's why I say get married, because I can feel that it's what you call thin ice, and there have been questions in your mind. But you two are going to work this out. Definitely. The Archangel Michael is standing right behind you over your left shoulder. I'm trying to figure out the way I'm looking. Over your left shoulder there. Mm-hmm. And he's telling me that it's going to work out. You two were in a past life. In this past life, in your relationship, you were the man and he was the woman. And you did the exact same thing to him. So you're just coming back in this life and you're kind of experiencing it back. It's not punishment. It's just part of the learning process. So he was patient with you in that life. You got to be patient with him a little bit in this one. I do feel that he's a good mix for you, a good fit. And I feel that if you two work out your differences, he's not perfect and you're not perfect. You just got to control your tongue a little bit, because sometimes you say things, you got to control your mouth. I just want to say, like, you're some brah, you know, you're like a cat or not a cat. You're like a leopard, you know, boom, you can pounce right on somebody and that's okay. But it's like, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, when someone says something to you,
I'm you're not like a cat.
I don't have like a split personality thing, but
no,
my personality depends on you.
Yeah, but you can get triggered. So
yes, I'm very much.
Like a cat goes meow, but a cougar goes so you can be like the and then, whoa, where'd that come from? So you know, you that, and that's okay. That's part of who you are, and that's part of what makes you who you are, and that's part of what's going to lead you to your continued success. But just give him a little bit of a break, because I think that he cares about you. You're also going to reach your dream. You got some dreams in this entertainment realm or world that you're going to accomplish. You've just got to be patient with yourself. At times, here's what I'm hearing to tell you. At times it can be frustrating, and sometimes you wonder if it's even worth it. But keep plodding on. It's going to lead to your dreams.
Hey,
ignore the BS and the dysfunction and just keep moving forward being you. And I know that makes sense to you.
Yes, very much so.
I know. They're talking to me like they're just chatting up a storm.
That makes me feel good.
That is good.
And don't tell me nothing just to make me feel good now.
Well, I'm not telling you to make you feel good. I mean, I didn't want to tell you you're like a cougar, but not a cougar well, like
please. A I want a baby yeah. sometime. Am I going to get a baby at some point? You see any kids? Just one.
Yeah, I do see a baby. You have two. They're not twins. Do you have a child now?
No, I don't. I have two future stepchildren. He has two children.
Yeah, there's going to be two. If you two decide to have a child together, you will. It'll be a boy. Yeah, you're going to have to, you two are getting married. Yeah, there'll be three.
But three boys?
No. Does he have two boys?
He has two boys.
Now, I can't choose what they decide to do, you know, when you're getting pregnant. It'll be three boys. The one that's born between you two will be very psychic. Mm. You two were sisters in a past life. I don't know how you met, how you guys came together. But you two had a good relationship in a past life. Yeah. You'll probably fight like sisters sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, boyfriend and girlfriend. Yes.
Pardon me?
She always tells me I'm a man. I act like a man.
Well, you were women in your past lives together. And you were, you know, that's just your personality, right? I act like a man. I love that.
So am I gonna get a man?
You are gonna get a man. Now you're not with anybody right now?
No, not for real.
Yeah, yeah. Some men are for boy toys and some men are for keeps. Just make sure to keep the boy toys as boy toys and don't think they're gonna be a boy toy does not ever turn into a prince. Mm-hmm. And a prince doesn't turn into a boy toy normally. Mm-hmm. So just remember that some boys are for playing and some boys are for keeping. But I do see somebody coming into your life about 12 to 14 months. Between now, 12 to 14 months, you're going to meet a guy. He's tall. You like tall guys, don't you?
I do.
Because they tend to like tall guys. He's tall. I don't know. Why are they telling me this? He's got what it takes to satisfy you.
You got a big old dick.
They're just telling me that is an attribute that you like.
Both.
How much money he got, though?
Well, he's going to definitely satisfy you. And, well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Most men don't really sexually satisfy you.
That's true.
There's most men, you might just have to pretend sometimes. You've never been with somebody that really knew how to please you. And that's going to be so important. You could care about someone, you could love someone, but if they can't satisfy you sexually, because sex is a part of bonding, mm-hmm. it just ain't going to go anywhere. It ain't going to go anywhere. This man is going to make your toes curl. Okay. I don't know if your hair is normally straight or curly, but he's going to make your hair curl. And if your hair was curly, he's going to make your hair go straight. If it was you, your hair goes straight. And it's just, you're going to be really, really, he's a gentleman. He's somebody, you need somebody. You will put on a tough front, but you're really very sensitive. People that know you may be surprised how sensitive you really are, because you're a very sensitive person. And so you need a man that is going to treat you. You know, men that you've dated have expected you to be the man and the woman. You need a man that treats you, allows you to be who you are, to be your strong, assertive self, but also recognizes your femininity and knows how to treat you like a lady. Most men you've dated have missed the lady part with you.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. You need somebody that will open your door, help you with the coat on, brings you flowers. Somebody that, and will treat you like an equal. cannot talk down to you. You've been involved with some real losers. I'm just going to say it. Now, they haven't been, you've shortchanged yourself. You better get those ghost dollars back, because if you had to pay them in ghost dollars, I mean, you got shortchanged. But this noob, this guy is coming. He's going to be really, really, he might be a professional athlete.
Oh my God.
Sounds great.
Oh my God.
You might be a basketball player. Do you know some basketball players? I mean, friends that are professional.
I do know.
Interesting.
A couple professional basketball players.
I know. Because they just told me, you know, some basketball players, professional. Mm-hmm. They're going to, I'd be hanging around with them. They're going to introduce you to somebody. Hmm. So the money is not, he's going to be rich, but you'll never know it. You'll never, this guy is very low key, very down to earth. He wasn't raised with a lot of money. So he doesn't, money doesn't define him. He's mm-hmm. just a nice guy with a lot of money.
Sounds good.
And you're going to like him. Yes. And he is really handsome. I think he was dating one of the Kardashians. Oh, was there a light-skinned athlete dating one of the Courtney or not Court, one of those?
I forgot.
It was dating her.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell
you. I think that's who it was. He was so, at least he was my type. He was really handsome. You're going to have beautiful babies. Let me just say that.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah. And I'm told your mother will approve.
That's good. That's good to hear, because my mom doesn't like anybody that
I know. That's why I said that. They said your mother's going to approve. Yeah, I know. She doesn't like anyone. That's why she's going to approve.
That sounds
does good. It make sense what I'm telling you?
It does make sense.
And for you, AJ?
Yeah. I mean, you came out with the things that are on my mind daily.
Good. Yeah, I didn't mean to be so personal, but stuff just comes through to me and I just have to, you know, put it out there. But you are, AJ, you're going to accomplish the financial success you want through your career. Tam Bam, you're going to accomplish the financial success you want through your husband.
Am I getting out of the game?
No. It just means you're going to shortcut. It's like, you're still going to do what you do. You're going to go on and have a successful career, but you won't need to. It'll be, you'll work because you want to, not because you have to.
God damn.
Yeah, well, you're going to do fine naturally. You're already, and you can call me Tana. You're already on the right path. You're already on the path to accomplishing your dreams.
I was watching one of your YouTube videos and you said that we are all psychics.
Yes. So
how would one channel their own psychic energy?
Meditation.
Yeah. So you can learn if you really want to learn to develop your psychic ability, and people that learn to develop it, they don't do it, you know, you don't have to learn to develop it just to be a psychic. Learning to develop your psychic abilities, it gives you a lot of benefits in life, because you can know when people are lying, you can feel things, you make better business decisions. A lot of things improve by being psychically tuned in, and that's why most people do it. You have to find somebody. I have a six-month psychic certification course. I teach people one-on-one and in groups how to develop their psychic ability. If you want to really learn how, then you're going to need a professional to teach you. If you want to just do it for fun or whatever, you can read books. There's a lot of good books out there.
But do you use tarot cards and stuff like that?
I don't need to use anything, because I get my information from guides and angels. I have about 30 decks of tarot cards. I collect them and I like to read them and play with them. But they're not to me, it's a hobby. It's not, because I can see guides like I was doing with you guys reading, I don't need anything. I don't even need to see you. I can just, I don't even have to hear your voice. My guides just talk to me and they tell me things like they were, I just happen to be seeing you here. People who use tarot cards, it's a tool they use to get information from. But what happens when you use tools, they can be misinterpreted. Just like if you look at a map and you misinterpret it wrong, you can go the wrong direction. So the tarot cards are like a map. Whereas when I'm giving information, I think why my accuracy rate is so high and what people always ask me, why is your accuracy rate so high? It's because I'm not interpreting information. You know, I was talking and just kind of what I'm seeing. I'm just repeating the conversation I hear in my head, and I'm telling you, there's no interpretation. With tarot cards, you can, if you misinterpret it wrong, you give wrong information. And about this psychic, you just hit a big pet peeve of mine. Let me just make this very clear to anybody that sees this. If there ever is a sign out front that says psychic readings, palm readings, Miss whatever, run the other way. Do not go in there. They're going to, you get what you pay for. Professional psychics don't advertise. These people, what they do is they tell you you've got a curse, you've got to burn candles, and I don't know exactly what culture, it's part of this specific culture, and they're con artists that act as psychics, or some of them are psychics who have went to the dark side on you. Let's pretend you come in and you've got a curse. I'm not going to charge you $200 to burn candles. I'm going to remove it during your session. That's what you paid me for. There's no extra charts like going to the doctor and saying, doctor, my leg's broke. Whoa. Well, it's going to cost you more to set that bone, but if you want a Band-Aid or a cast, because the cast, now it's going to cost you another $1,000. Well, it's not for me. It's for my charity. You know, right. You go to the doctor.
Have you ever had someone come to you and you felt a curse on them or felt like real bad energy around them or just?
Yeah. There are curses. I believe there's curses. I believe they tend to be mostly what's called a psychic curse, because thoughts are energy. Remember we talked about we can create things, little green people or whatever we believe in. So whenever you think a negative thought toward another person, it's like you're putting a psychic curse on them. You're sending negative energy at them and it can affect them. Yeah.
This has been so much fun. I don't know.
Well, I've enjoyed it too. I hope we can do it again.
I know. I might call you on the phone.
Right.
You absolutely can.
Come to San Diego and have drinks.
Absolutely. You can bring those ghost dollars. We'll find somewhere to spend them. You're going to need more than 40 on the night with me.
We already
You're
going
to live high on the hog. No, 40 bucket, 40 ghost dollars ain't going to get us nowhere.
No, not very far. We know. We'll have to go pay for it, though.
So okay.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Okay.
Man, that was good.
That was so good.
I really enjoyed that. I like psyches and shit like that already.
Normally I would not participate in anything like that, but just, you know, I'm old country religion and just be scared. But that was just so good. And I felt good energy from Tana. I didn't feel like.
Nah. And see, that's what I like about shit outside of traditional religion.
What we've been taught.
Why do things have to make you feel bad that feel good? Like sex, for instance. It feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell are y'all trying to make it like this evil thing?
Right.
So, I don't know. I really enjoyed him.
I don't even think I want to do For the Love of Tam Bam no more. Apparently, my love will be here in the next 12 to 14 months. So, sorry guys, you missed your chance.
Cleanse, meditate, and prepare your womb and body for this man.
Yeah,
how does that sound?
Ooh, that sound good. I'm about to go nam yo ho renge kyo my ass in the room right now.
All right, if you guys enjoy this episode again and again and again,
right,
make sure you hit us up on We Talk Back Podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're still looking for them dumb bitch stories and shit. I'm going to continue to say that shit every single
fucking week. Because we know y'all dumb.
We need a participation. Anyway, send us an email at wetalkbackpod@gmail.com.
Follow us both on Instagram. It's at @officialtambam. And at AJ Holiday 2.0.
Hey, thank you for listening.
Bye, y'all. I love you.